Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
We're going to read Ezekiel 37 this morning about the dry bones as we get into this message. But to start off, I was reading a little story about a country church that they were having a revival. They had revivals. You know, revivals used to be a big thing. Every year you'd have a revival, a week revival or a two-week revival. And it was something just that was a regular occurrence for many years in the church because great revival swept across our land and the power of God moved. And that was the leftover, the residual condition that was left with the church. We were conditioned to have revivals. Well, you cannot create a true revival. A true revival comes from the Spirit of God. What you can do is catch hold of the power of God when He decides He's going to move. You can position yourself as a church. We can position ourselves to receive the power of God and usher in the power of God through some things that we must do. But anyhow, this church was having a revival, and the first night the evangelist spoke a powerful word and gave an altar call, and a man came up the aisle crying and weeping and said, fill me, Lord, fill me. The next night the evangelist had an equally powerful message, and at the end he gave an altar call. The same guy came up the aisle crying, fill me, Lord, fill me. The third night, the same thing happened. The guy had a powerful message, and he gave an altar call, and the same guy came up the aisle saying, fill me, Lord, fill me. And someone in the back said, don't do it, Lord, he leaks. Well, the truth is, we all leak. And the reality of needing to be renewed, needing to have the Spirit of God stirred inside of us is a reality for every believer. We go through dry times. We have these dry bones that need to be revived. We have conditions that happen in the church. The church goes through dry times, and then we have times of renewal, times of what we refer to as revival and sometimes awakening. There's been great awakenings that took place in this nation. The first great awakening took place before we actually became a nation. And the move of God, the power of God swept across the nation, and people were swept into the kingdom of God. And it set the stage for the establishment of our nation. People became believers in Jesus Christ, and the majority of the population had a reverence for God. We don't have that today. The majority of our population no longer has a reverence and a place, a special place in our heart for God. Now I didn't say everyone got saved. I didn't say the majority of the population. But because of the move of God, there was a reverence for God. And people, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And people's hearts and minds were changed. And society, the foundational principles of our society was set because of the outpouring, the great awakening, the first great awakening. We need another great awakening today. I don't know if you realize it or not, And I'm just going to be totally honest with you the way I feel about it. I believe the Marxist takeover of our nation is almost complete. I see the move toward communism in our nation as one of the biggest threats to us and to the church. Some of you may believe that socialism is a good idea, and you know there are social programs. We need to have social programs, but the closer, the more and more we move in the direction of complete and total Marxism, I can tell you, you will be sorry the day that that happens. There's been people with dreams and visions of these very things happening. And God gives us dreams and visions as warnings, as a possibility to put a stop to it, for us to pray. And I believe with all my heart, standing here before you, the only hope we have is an awakening, a revival in the church, an awakening in our society. It's the only hope we have. Now, this is not, I want you to understand something. This is not a Republican-Democrat thing. They're all on board with this new world order. They're all moving in that direction. Some of them act like they're not, but they are. Their desire is to bring about the new world order, which will be a Marxist regime all over the world. Are they going to do that? I believe God wants to stop that. I believe what the World Economic Forum calls the Great Reset, or the, you can call it by all kinds of names, the Great Reset, the World Governance, it's called by all kinds of names. The Great Reset, the World Governance, I've kind of lost my train of thought in regards to those things, but they're called by several different names. It doesn't matter what it's called by. The reality is they're trying to move our world in a direction where the whole world will be in bondage to a small group of people. And I know that sounds like conspiracy theory kind of stuff, but it's not. All you got to do is go online and read some of this stuff that they're talking about. What the World Economic Forum is talking about, I'm just kind of drawing a blank with some of the things that I want to share with you. What is the world? New World Order. Yes, of course. But the system that all the governments come together and they vote and they. Somebody help me out. I'm just drawing a blank here this morning. I'm sorry. What? United Nations. Gee, see how that wasn't very hard, was it? I'm sorry. But the United Nations has an agenda. It used to be 2021. It's now 2030. That agenda is to move us in that direction. This is not conspiracy theory. It's conspiracy fact. This is what they want to have happen in our world. And I believe with all my heart, there's one thing that can stop it, and that's the move of God. Hallelujah. That's what God wants. Let me read Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse 1, and then we'll go back and dissect it. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Excuse me just a moment. Let me get stuff set up here so I'm not going on and on and on. this morning? How many want a powerful word, but you want it to end before noon? Hey, I'm just being real. Come on. Hallelujah. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. There was a rattling because he prophesied. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, breathe and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, that I brought you up from your grave, I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord God. What we are reading here, I believe, is the end of the fulfillment of the Spirit of God filling God's people. I believe on the day of Pentecost was the beginning of the day of the Spirit of God bringing life back into those dry bones. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it says this, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and then suddenly there came from heaven a sound of rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is the beginning of the rattling of the dry bones. This is the birth of the church, but it will end in the culmination of the tribes of Israel being brought back into the land and being filled with the Spirit of God. That's not happened yet. We have a nation called Israel right now, but we have not seen the fulfillment of the body, the tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel brought back into the land and filled with the Spirit. When that happens, the end of all things will come. But we're still in the time where the dry bones need to be revived. This, what we just read, is the beginning of the new covenant. The dry bones began to rattle on that day of Pentecost. And the scripture tells us it was the fulfillment of prophecy. Young men will dream dreams. Old men will see visions. I may have that backwards. I don't know. I dream dreams, so it has to be young men dreams dreams, right? Not a very good joke, but hallelujah. We just know that it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's the Spirit of God that changes things. It's the Spirit of God that causes revival. It's the Spirit of God that causes awakening. It's the Spirit of God that causes the bones to come to life. It's the Spirit of God. It's the breath of God. Between the beginning and the end, there are going to be times of dryness. There's going to be times of renewal and awakening and bringing back together those dry bones to live. There's going to be times of God breathing His breath on the body of Christ. And we're in a time right now where we need the breath of God in the church of Jesus Christ. We need it more than any time ever in the history of our nation. And there's been some very dire times. But I can tell you, nothing has ever gotten so bad that the Spirit of God could not change the direction of a nation. He has done it time and time again. I believe we're in a time of dryness right now. But we are primed for a time of the bones coming back together and the breath of God being breathed into the church. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." I believe this. I believe that the God of heaven's armies is asking us today, what do you believe? Let's read Ezekiel 37, 1 through 7 again. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit, and the Lord set me upon down in the midst of the valley and was full of bones. And he came and he caused me to pass by them all round, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know." This is a direct question to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? God wanted to know what Ezekiel thought about it. Is it possible for these bones to live? And of course, Ezekiel deferred to God. You know, God, whether they can live or not. But I believe God is asking the church of Jesus Christ today, can these bones live again? Are these bones too dry? Are these bones so dead that they cannot come back to life? He's asking us as a part of the body of Christ, what do we believe? Do we believe the bones can live? I do. I believe they're alive. I believe that God wants to bring new life into the church of Jesus Christ. New breath, new power, a new move of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Do you realize what we really need in the church of Jesus Christ today is a new baptism of the Holy Spirit? A newness, an alive, something that causes us to come to life. I really believe. Now, this is not an indictment on you or just on the church. This is how I feel. I have some dryness in me. I have some something inside of me that says, hey, this is not right. There's something going on in me that's not what God wants. I believe what God wants is a fire burning inside of me, so that when I see people who need the love of Jesus Christ, I burn with a desire to share the truth with them. And I got to tell you, I don't always have that. But I'm crying out to God that He give me that burning desire, that I will share the truth with people, that I will not allow fear to stop me from being a bold witness for Jesus Christ, that I will truly proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus. In James chapter 2, verse 26, it says, "For the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." We could talk about our faith all we want, We can get together in our connect groups and talk about how much faith we have and what it takes to have faith. But the reality is, what are we doing with that faith? Faith without works is dead. You see, this very same combination of faith and obedience, prayer, has preceded every revival that has ever been recorded, including the one on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls were saved. And then it says, God added to the church daily as He willed. Thousands of people came to the kingdom of God. Not just hundreds, thousands. We are primed right now for a time for thousands of people to be awakened by the Spirit of God. But we have a part to play in this. We got to do our fair share. You see, there's reason to believe that on the day of Pentecost, they started out with more than 120. You see, we know that 120 were there in the upper room, and they were praying and they were seeking God. They were having fellowship. But there's reason to believe that they probably started out with more, because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6 says this: "And after that he was seen by over 500, talking about Jesus, over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." So there was at least 500 people that were followers of Jesus and believed in Him. So maybe they started out, this is just speculation, so don't make doctrine out of this, but this is just speculation, that possibly they started out with more, and some of those people got tired of praying, got tired of fasting and doing, you know, spending time seeking God, and they went back to their regular life. But 120 of them made a choice. They were going to stay until the promise was fulfilled. Are we going to stick with it until the promise is fulfilled? Because we've been given many promises here in this church. God has spoken to us many times over the years, and He's promised us things that's going to happen in the future. I'm beginning to see little rumblings of that taking place right now, but it's not been completely fulfilled yet. But the question is, can these dry bones live? What do you believe? Do you believe they can live? Let me read, hallelujah. We have to believe it together. Matthew chapter 21, verse 19. Jesus, seeing a fig tree by the road, He came to it, and He found nothing on it but leaves, and He said, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. Now, there's a lot of symbolism here and a lot of things that I'm not going to get into this morning in regards to the fig tree. But what I do want you to see is this. Verse 20, "And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither so soon?' And Jesus answered and said them, 'Surely I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountains, be removed and be cast in the sea, and it will be done, if you believe.'" And then He went on to say, "And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive." Are we believing? Are we praying? Are we trusting that God can and will bring about an awakening in our society and a revival in the church? First of all, it takes a revival in the church. Then an awakening can happen in society. I don't know. I can tell you this, and I really hesitate to say this, but I think that it's important. We have a prayer time every Tuesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. We have about 5 or 6 people show up for that. Before I got sick, we had about that many people coming. Do we believe that our prayers can make a difference? Do we believe that God wants to bring those dry bones back to life? If we do, we will act like it. We will begin to put our faith to work. G. Campbell Morgan preached his first message, his first sermon, when he was 13 years old. He was the pastor of Westminster Chapel in London from 1904 to 1919. He said this about revival. Revival cannot be organized, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon His people once again. That's our responsibility. Set our sails to catch the wind. God's breathing. God is bringing life back into the dry bones if we will cry out to Him and allow Him to breathe life into us. Number two, speak to the dry bones. Ezekiel 37, 4 and 6. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. This, what I want you to see in this particular scripture is that we need to speak to the dry bones. We need to speak to the dry bones of the church. We need to speak to our own dry bones. We need to speak to our own life. We need to speak that the power of God being released and stirred in our hearts. We need to speak fire being stirred and kindled inside of us. We need to speak the truth of the Word of God. When you speak the word of God, you are speaking the language of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I know I'm pouring a lot of scripture on you this morning, but I want you to see what God wants to do in our midst. Luke chapter 7, verse 2. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent word to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not ever think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. And also, am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Why had he not seen such great faith? Because this man understood the power of the spoken word. He understood that Jesus had the authority to say, be healed. And it didn't matter how far the distance between them. It didn't matter time and space. It didn't matter anything except that it was the power of the Word of God being spoken. And when it was spoken, he realized his servant could be healed. Wow. We got to speak to these dry bones. Speak life to them. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Speak life. Don't allow yourself to speak anything except life. Speak the word. Speak life. In 1949, in a small village off the coast of Scotland, on a chain of islands called the Hebrides. On a particular island known as Lewis Island, in a village of Barvas, there was two elderly women. This is 1949, after the World War. Two elderly women by the name of Peggy and Christine Smith. One was 84, the other one was 82. They were sisters. They lived together. Peggy was blind, and her sister was bent over almost double with arthritis. They were unable to attend church services. So every Sunday, they would open their Bible and they'd read and they would pray and they would seek God and they would ask God to pour His Spirit out upon the churches. You see, because the churches were dead in the Hebrides. In Scotland, this is off the coast of Scotland. In all of Scotland, the churches were dead and dying. And they cried out to God to send His Spirit and bring life back in. To speak to those dry bones. They began to speak to them. And they recognized. And the Holy Spirit gave them a particular word out of Isaiah chapter 44 verse 3. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. They got that word and they began to speak that word. This was the beginning of what was to become known as the Lewis Outpouring or the Hebrides Revival. It was a great, powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they started speaking the Word of God, the Word that came to them. The Word is powerful. Listen, when we speak to our God based on His Word, we can remind Him what He has told us. Lord, You have said this. This is what Your Word says. And we hold You to it. That's not heresy. God likes that kind of faith. He loves it when His people are willing to say, God, we believe Your Word and we know that You will hold Your, You will not fail us because of Your Word. We trust that. God wants to hear that from His people. Number three, do not stop speaking. Keep speaking the Word of God. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Lost my place. There it is. Verse 7 and 8. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Listen, we are commanded to prophesy the Word of God. Prophesying is not always saying something that's going to happen in the future. Prophecy is speaking the Word of God many times. And that's what God told Ezekiel to do. Speak what I tell you to speak. And he did. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together. Bone to bone. Suddenly a rattling. I believe if we will stand on the Word of God and stand on the words that God has given us and believe that the dry bones can come back to life, if we will speak to these dry bones, we will begin to hear rattling. In fact, I think we're hearing a rattling right now. The rattling has begun. But we've got to keep speaking. We can't stop speaking. Because listen to what he tells him. Indeed, as I looked, the sinew and the flesh came upon him, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. The rattling started. The bones came back together. The sinew and the flesh came upon those bones. And yet, he was not finished prophesying. He was not finished speaking to those dry bones. Something more had to happen. The power of God had to come. The breath of life had to come upon them. Don't allow the enemy to cause you to stop speaking the Word of God. Speak prophesy to these dry bones. Speak life to them. I believe that when we stand on the Word of God, the power of God will be released in this place. Over the years, God has given us some many words of wisdom and words of vision, words of knowledge and dreams to encourage this church, just to help us stay on track with the Lord. And particularly to help me as the pastor to realize that no matter what things look like, God is still on the throne and He's still moving among these people. When it looks like the bones are dry and dead, they're not. They look like they're dry and dead, but all we have to do is speak life into them. Prophesy over them. Dry bones, live! Dry bones, come to life! Dry bones, you're going to live in Jesus' name. There's life in these dry bones. Many years ago, God gave me a scripture. And He told me it would be fulfilled in this church. I'm going to read that scripture to you. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 through 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth and the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, I read that scripture to you, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit on it. But what I want to share with you is that recently, while Susie Groves was preparing for the Stickin' performance, she was talking to me about the Stickin' skit. And of course, our children, I don't know if you realize it, but our children have been very excited about that presentation. They believe that what they did this morning is a release of the Spirit of God to cause these dry bones to come back to life. They believe that. Therefore, what are we going to believe? Are we going to get behind them? Are we going to support them? Are we going to trust that God is speaking through them? Well, anyhow, Susie sent me that scripture, and she said she believed that this had something to do with the stick and skit and the direction of the church. She had no idea that God had given me that scripture in the past. She did not know that for years I've been standing on that scripture and trusting that the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen, this is just a building. What I truly believe God is saying is that He's going to bring the peace that passes all understanding to the temple of the Holy Spirit here inside of all of us. Now, like I said, this is just a building, but it is a place where we meet. And what I have heard from people time and time again, when they come to this church, people who attend regularly, people who come for the first time, people who just come for special events that we have, they constantly say this same thing over and over to me. There is such a peace of God in this place. The Spirit of God has promised us that is exactly what's going to happen in this place. But it's just beginning. The power of God is just beginning to move in this place. The glory of this latter temple, this latter power of God, these latter days that we are living in, the power of God is being manifest inside of each and every one of us. And the glory of God is going to be manifest in such a way that the world is going to see the power of God and understand the goodness of our God. It'll be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. This is a place of peace. This is Bethel, the house of God. This is God's place. So I say to you this morning, keep speaking life. Keep prophesying to these dry bones. Dry bones live. Come to life. Dry bones, you're going to live and you're going to breathe. Peggy and Christine Smith believed the promise. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. They pleaded this day and night. They trusted God and they pleaded that word day and night in prayer. One night, Peggy had a revelation. Revival was coming. And the church of her fathers would be crowded again with young people. Now you have to understand, there was an apathy in the churches. Young people wanted nothing to do with church because the church was dead. And when the church is dead, young people want nothing to do with a dead church. If a church is dying, young people want nothing to do with it. What they want when they're seeking God, what they want is life, the breath of God. That's what I want. The power of God and the breath of God. Revival was coming. So she sent for the minister. His name was James Murray McKay. And she told him that what God had shown her. And she asked him to call the elders together, the leaders, and begin to pray and wait upon God. They then asked a spirit-filled evangelist by the name of Duncan Campbell to come to the islands and conduct some services. Duncan said this. He said, "I did not bring revival. It was already in progress when I came." He recognized that there was some preparation that took place before he ever stepped on those islands. All he was a vessel that was being used by God. Now, I don't know how God intends to move in this place, but I know this, that God is done with the days of celebrity Christians. I believe what God is looking for is a group of people who would just love one another, love the world enough to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and live together as believers in a community of love and compassion for one another. I believe that's how the power of God is going to be poured out in these latter days. It's not going to be some great evangelist standing in a pulpit and speaking these great, incredible words of power. It's going to be the body of Christ living every day, sharing the truth of the Word of God. That's where we're headed. That's what's going to happen. One of the conditions prior to the revival was a total apathy toward Christianity and toward spiritual things. It was a great moral decline. There was lots of crime, lots of ungodly things going on in the society. Alcohol, drugs, prostitution, all these kind of things were happening during this period of time in Scotland. What took place in the island was a great move of the Spirit of God, not orchestrated by the hand of man, but manifest and led by the Spirit of God. The whole community was led into repentance. And the worst of sinners, the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the prostitutes, the criminals, atheists, God haters, everyone who you know, society would look at and reject, God called into the kingdom because of his power. He spoke first to the dry bones of the church, and the church responded by getting on their knees and praying and seeking the face of God. The church responded by asking for the fire of God to be kindled inside of them. And when the church repented and turned to the living God, then the great awakening took place in their society. Here's some interesting things that happened. This is a quote from Duncan Campbell. Speaking about revival in the Hebrides, I would like to make it perfectly clear what I understand to be real revival. When I speak of revival, I am not thinking of high-pressure evangelism. I'm not thinking of crusades or special efforts convened and organized by people. This is not in my mind at all. Revival is far beyond evangelism at its highest level. It is moving of God, whereby the whole community suddenly becomes God conscious before anyone says a word about God. What I believe Duncan Campbell is talking about is an awakening that takes place. I believe there's two phases to a great move of God. The first is revival, and that takes place in the church, Jesus Christ. That's stirred in the hearts of God's people. Revival must happen. God's people must repent and turn from their ways. What do we know about the Word of God in regards to God's people repenting? You know, I've shared this scripture with you time and time again. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We have wicked ways that we need to turn from. There's no doubt about it. If we'll turn from our wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. That's a promise that God gave to Israel. It's a promise that we can claim as believers in Jesus Christ. It's a promise that's still alive today for anyone who will reach out and grab hold of it. If we will repent and seek our God, it begins in the church. It has to happen here. One night, while Pastor McKay and his leaders were in the barn pleading with the Holy Spirit, "This promise, I will pour water on him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground." A young man, a deacon in the church, got up and he read Psalms chapter 24. "Who shall ascend the hill of God? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul into vanity or sworn deceitfully? He shall receive the blessing." The blessing, not a blessing, the blessing. I believe what he's talking about is the Holy Spirit, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And then that young man closed his Bible, and looking down at the minister and the other men, he was standing above them in a barn. He says this, "It seems to me to be so much humbug to be praying as we are praying, to be waiting as we are waiting, if we ourselves are not rightly related to God." And then he lifted up his two hands and prayed, "God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure?" And that's as far as he got. When he said that, he fell to his knees and he went into some sort of a trance and was there for hours under the power of the Holy Spirit. It was the beginning of the outpouring. The pastor and the men were so gripped with conviction that God spoke to their hearts. That was the beginning of the outpouring of the Hebrides revival. And the question we have to ask ourselves, do we have clean hands? Do we have a clean heart? Let me share with you Duncan's account of the first night's meeting. "We got to church about 8:45 to find about 300 people gathered. And I gave an address about Jesus parable of the 10 virgins. Nothing really happened during the service. It was a good meeting. A sense of God, a consciousness of His Holy Spirit moving, but nothing beyond that. So I pronounced the benediction and we started leaving the church about a quarter to 11. Just as I am walking down the aisle, along came the young deacon who had read the Psalms in the barn. He suddenly stood in the aisle and looking up to heaven said, God, you can't fail us. God, you can't fail us. You promised to pour water on the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. You can't fail us. As soon as he said that, he hit his knees. He fell to his knees in the aisle, still praying, and then he began to fall into a trance again. A trance, I don't know what you want to envision as a trance, but he was under the power of the Holy Spirit. Just then the door opened. Now listen, this is historical fact. This is not something made up. This is historical fact. Just then the door opened. It is now 11 o'clock. And the local blacksmith comes back into church and says, Mr. Campbell, something wonderful has happened. Oh, we were praying that God would pour water on the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And listen, He's done it. He's done it. When I went to the door of the church, about 600 people were there. 600 people gathered outside of the church. No one had invited them. No one had told them what was going on. They had come because the Spirit of God had called them. Where'd they come from? What had happened? Somehow the Spirit of God drew all these people to this church that night, the same location. This was entirely the power of God drawing people. This is what a great awakening looks like. You see, when the church gets right, the Spirit of God is able to move in society. There was no announcement. All of them had same time. All of them came together at the same time, unaware of the intense need of God, or aware of their intense need of God. And that all happened at 11 o'clock at night. At the same time, there was 100 young people at a dance in a parish. They weren't thinking of God. They weren't thinking of eternity. They weren't thinking of heaven, hell. God was not at all in their thoughts. They were there to have a good time. Suddenly, the Spirit of God fell upon this gathering of young people dancing in this dance hall. Right in the dance hall, the music stopped, and in a matter of minutes, the whole hall was empty. They fled the hall as people fleeing from a plague, and they headed to the church. They were part of this 600 gathering of people. Oh, yes, they saw the lights in the church. They realized that they had an empty spot, and it needed to be filled with the power of God. They went to the church, not knowing what they needed, just knowing that that was a place where they could get what they needed. Men and women had gone to bed. They rose in the middle of the night. They dressed for no reason. They got dressed, and they went to the church. And they were all standing around outside of the church asking, what must we do? Basically, this is what they were asking. What must we do to be saved? And Duncan Campbell told them exactly what they needed. They needed the power of God. They needed Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in their life. God took the situation in hand. God decided that He was going to do something because His people decided they wanted Him to do something. God's reality gripped these 600 people. I believe that same kind of thing can happen today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Both the 100 young people from the dance hall and all the other people, they came because they realized they had a void in their life and it needed to be filled. So I say to you, we don't want to stop speaking. We've got to speak. Speak the Word of God. Speak life. Speak to these dry bones. But the first thing we have to do is get our heart right before God. The church must do that. Now, I have some other things I want to share with you this morning, but it's getting late, so I'm going to stop. But I'm going to tell you this. What we need is the helper. We need the paracletos, the intercessor, the counselor, the advocate, the comforter. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need another great outpouring of the Spirit of God in our lives. We need the stirring of this fire that God wants to happen in the believers. It's going to take us. It's going to take the church to rise up. It's going to take the church to get serious about this relationship. We got to speak life. And when we do speak life, we will be speaking the language of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that I will warn you about is this. That when the power of God begins to manifest in a group of people, unusual things will happen. Things that may make you uncomfortable. Things that may cause you to question, is this God or not? Is God moving? One of the things that happened in the Hebrides revival is that the opposition for the revival did not come from the world. It came from the church. The people opposed the manifestation of the Spirit of God moving, the wonderful things happening, the incredible miracles and manifestations that made some people uncomfortable. Those people who were opposed to that missed out on the power of God and the revival that was taking place. They stayed in their comfortable little churches, in their comfortable little pews, in their comfortable little lifestyle, and they missed the move of God. I don't want to miss the move of God. I want to be open to whatever God has in store for us. It may seem and it may be a little uncomfortable when God begins to move. We may see things take place in this church and in the lives of people that cause us to question, was that of God? Well, I can tell you this. When God begins to move, things will happen. And we must not get in the way. Here's some of the things that happened. Houses shook under the Spirit of God. Dishes fell off cupboards as the Spirit swept through houses. People were under the power of the Holy Spirit. People were fell down and were in trances or under the Spirit of God for hours at a time. Even the most hardened sinners and notorious characters of the district could not hold out against the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're looking at today. We're looking at, and what we need is the move of God that no one can stand against. But many will miss the move of God because they'll question, they'll wonder, is this really of God or not? And while they're wondering whether it's of God or not, the Spirit of God is going to move right past them. The Spirit of God does not want us to miss His move. Let's be open to whatever it is that God does. In the 1800s, there was a move of God. An evangelist by the name of James McGrady set up a time of camp meetings in Kentucky. It was a great outpouring. It was a Logan County, Kentucky revival. And during that camp meeting, some unusual things happened. These were all kinds of different denominational preachers, Baptist, Presbyterian, many different denominations. And they would come together and this was in the wilderness. This was in a time in the wilderness when there was incredible sin and debauchery going on. And these men, these pastors, started preaching and teaching the Word of God. They weren't concerned about their denomination. They were concerned about the Spirit of God. And they would get up on stumps and start preaching. And they would, one would be preaching over here, another over here. And as they were preaching, the Spirit of God would come upon the whole group of people, and they would be slain, what we refer to as slain in the Spirit. They would fall out in the Spirit of God. You see, this is not a new phenomenon. God does that, has done that from time to time when He begins to move in His people. Great manifestations of the Spirit of God took place during that time. And one of the incredible occurrences that took place was after the move of God, after the Holy Spirit began to move among these people in the wilderness, people went to visit some of these cities, some of these towns that were set up afterwards. And they said they were the most moral and safest places in the United States to live, because the Spirit of God had moved on the hearts of men. We need the Spirit of God to move on the hearts of men today. We cry out. I cry out to you. I cry out to you, Almighty God. Fill us, Lord. Bring your dry bones to life. I know we're dry, but we're crying out to you, Father, because we believe you want us to live. We believe your Spirit is breath. Your Spirit is life. We believe this morning, Father God, that you want us to be alive. I call for the dry bones to live. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.